Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our distribution segment of this industry overview we're doing for 2023-2024. So today, I'm again joined by Sean, and we're going to be discussing distribution. Great. So Sean, just to start, can you kind of give an overview of what distribution is for you anybody bet. Who might be joining us?
Yep. So distribution businesses or distribution business processes also, right, are those where usually an organization buys a product and then they sell it. That's it.
Yeah.
You wish. There's so many other variations in it where you could have food distributors that purchase shrimp, and then the distributor takes the shrimp and repackages from what they purchase into specific sizes, mm-hmm. right? With catch weight, that's a fun thing to deal with in systems, as well as they may mix in some other ingredients. Mm-hmm. There may be distributors in industrial organizations that do all kinds of value add to products that they bring in. So they're not really like a manufacturer. There's even some consumer goods that are that way, where they, like we've had several sporting goods companies that'll have different manufacturers that will ship all of the different raw materials to our client, who then does a little bit of value add and then sells those. That's really mostly distribution, mm-hmm. even though that little bit of assembly can be tricky. So that's the way to think about a distributor. Now, there's also online distributors, right, that never touch product as well. We have many of those kinds of companies where they use third-party logistics providers that receive raw materials. Maybe the 3PL does a little bit of value-add packaging and then sends it, drop ships it to customers. So that's basically what distribution means.
Awesome. And going into building off of that, what are really the main pain points we see in distribution companies?
Similar to manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So I would say, if you're here to listen to this distribution video, you should also listen to the manufacturing video. So the good news for everybody who's listening is we're going to keep the distribution video. I'm going to be a little more focused. I was meandering a little bit more on the manufacturing one, but we'll be a little more focused here. So it won't be another half hour that you have to listen to this. But go again. I'm sorry. The main issues?
Yeah. Main pain points we see in distribution companies.
So a lot of distribution companies are getting into more adjacent services. Okay. So the model of buy low, sell high, has been definitely disrupted with the internet. That's been around for the last 20 years. Oh, distributors are going to get cut out. You know, that was always a big thing that I remember hearing like literally 20 years ago. The internet's going to remove distributors. It's just not true. Distributors have a very specific value that they bring to the products that they distribute. You know, they may curate through lots of different materials to bring the right materials together. And an end customer just can't do that, right? Distributors have a ton of industry knowledge, subject matter expertise in their areas. And that's ultimately what a customer is working with them for. They may also bring together a lot of different vendors. So they've got a basket of goods that we can get from one place instead of having to go all the different manufacturers. Because that was sort of the big deal was, oh, go direct mm-hmm. to the manufacturer. That's kind of a pain to go direct, yeah. right? Especially if you're in electronics and you need a lot of electronics parts. The electronics distributors have great ability to bring together lots of different products, good pricing, and it can also pool the pricing. So if you go direct to the manufacturer, you only have your quantities that you're mm-hmm. purchasing from, whereas a distributor is buying a lot more. So they can get better pricing. Well, but then they have to add their markup. That's true, but there still is other value add services they provide. So, I mean, that's been the biggest challenge, I think, is just distributors continuing to sort of redefine their markets. And we see a lot of distributors, especially in, you know, heavy industrial areas, steel, lumber, other areas, our clients that are saying, hey, we really do want to leverage not even next generation technologies, but more like technologies from the last 10 years
yes.
that we should have in place so that we can sort of Uberize our industry, mm-hmm. meaning digitize and use really strong business applications to drive more efficiencies, mm-hmm. less focus on people doing the, you know, typical manual tasks and instead doing more value added tasks.
Yeah, definitely. And again, lots of these things were touched on in the manufacturing video. So if you're looking for a deeper dive into that, definitely check that video out. But with recent technology and industry changes, how do you think the distribution industry was impacted in 2023?
I think, again, similar. The distributors sort of get caught between the manufacturers and the customer. It might be a retailer, so it's not the end customer, but they're kind of in the middle, right? And from the distributors that we've worked with, from building supply, lumber I've mentioned, steel, other industries, distributors, they really understand margin and how to buy, when to buy, and when to sell. The hard thing is knowing that. In 2023, the trends, the macroeconomic trends, the interest rates, geopolitical issues, you've got all these things that have just are changing. And so, especially more conservative firms that like to buy more and hold, and they have the ability to do that with their cash flow, they're stuck with a lot of inventory right now.
Yeah.
So then, you know, when do you sell? Do you wait for prices to go up? Commodity prices are kind of continuing to go up, not at the level that they were before. Even lumber prices have gone down, but it's sort of this like forecasting world, right? So a lot of companies have said, hey, we want new forecasting and planning tools. And we say, okay, fine. But, you know, that doesn't solve the real problem here, which is, you know, the crystal ball of what's happening into our economy and the planet for the next, you know, year and a half or so, especially, but finishing out 2023 and going into 2024. So I think that's been a big issue. I think another big issue is, of course, the labor shortage and finding talent that can focus on maintaining and working through technology systems. Even clients that we're working with right now, there's sort of it's a shortage of the distributors I think run into to have technology people, because the business model is a little bit like legacy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it really that sexy to go work for a distributor on their EDI tools that they've been using for 20 years? No, right? So, I mean, that's been a big challenge. I think another challenge that we've seen related to that is, especially for those distributors that are using 20, 30-year-old systems, is hiring new people. And the new people are like, wait, what? You want me to use that green screen thing, you know, or that blue screen? Like, yo, I don't know what that is, right? I played, what was the game? Penguin? Club Penguin as a kid. That's cool. I don't know it. I'm not even gonna tell you what I was playing.
I mean, even you've seen that. I mean, with our team, I'm only a few years older than the guys on my team, and our generational gap in terms of some of the games that I played versus.
That's right.
I mean, it's weird. Like, it's crazy.
It's like dinosaurs versus no. But you're right. It is. It is crazy that especially, you know, and then you've got the next generations and the generations below and the generations above. Like, there's huge disparity. Is that even a word? Disparity.
Yes.
Thank you. Between, you know, somebody who's 50 and 40 and 30, you know, 5 and 30. Now you got 28, 26, 20, you know, 4. Like, the disparity as you kind of go down in age or younger in age, it's a huge difference between somebody who's 20 and 30.
Yeah.
And a huge difference between somebody who's 30 and 40 and 40 and 50. So if you've traditionally had a low margin business, most distributors are, and you've been relying on legacy technology and you're trying to hire new people, and, you know, again, maybe you get that key person who over to the side is willing to build out a bunch of stuff. But if, you know, you don't keep that person busy, they're like gone. Mm-hmm. So that's a big challenge for sure.
Definitely. So we talked about this in the manufacturing call. I feel like the technology is very similar. Lots of the things that the vendors are doing to advance. Yep. One thing, though, that we didn't really touch on is data. Vendors are doing a lot with data. Is that going to impact these distribution industries, especially as they're trying to predict and do things with less?
Yeah, okay. I think it will. I definitely think it will. So a distributor has a ton of product data, right? Mm-hmm. They have sales orders. They have purchase orders that are related to products, the manufacturing part numbers, to their own numbers, to customer part numbers, all kinds of just product-oriented information that today gets sort of embedded in transactions. Mm-hmm. They sort of have to, you kind of have to rake up the transactions, get the data out of that, you know. But today with the data warehouses, the data lakes, the data marts, the data.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
The holy grails of data. Yeah.
I mean, changes week to week.
Week to week. That's right. Yeah. What was I want a boat. I want a data boat to go around to the different data houses on the lakes. Data lakes. Seriously. I think it was Data House was something. Or there was
it
something.
Is.
It is Data House. Microsoft, right?
A data house.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? They're all coining different names to differentiate themselves.
It's just like, what was the game you guys played? Not Minecraft, but Clash of Clans. Everybody's building out their clans, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then they have their bots that are fighting each other. We'll talk about cybersecurity a little bit later, but yeah. It's true, actually. It's crazy. See? You guys are like, you're on it. Anyway, so data will continue to drive a lot of, I think, decisions for new ERP. But, you know, ERPs are made more around transaction processing systems. So a lot of vendors are building out their own data marts, analytics warehouses, or even leveraging their hyperscaler who has other, you know, big data capabilities that could really give these organizations a lot more information. Now they need, you know, the team of data scientists and the team of business intelligence people. That's kind of a joke because most of our distributors, even if they're upwards of a billion, they don't have teams of these people. They've got some person who's interested in it, who's mm-hmm. playing with some spreadsheets on the side, right? But I do think the vendors are creating more practical solutions around data analytics that'll be really beneficial for distributors. Yeah.
Lots of them are trying to cut out the need for those data scientists. And I think we're in a new era of data. That's my prediction, just based off of everything that I see. And I think that that's going to play a huge role for manufacturers and distributors.
Yep.
So you kind of touched on this, but where do you think the greatest opportunity is for the distribution industry to grow?
Well, we've seen so much of this adjacent services. Even the software vendors, we were talking to a more legacy distribution application vendor today, and we mentioned, now you guys can't meet these needs because there's field services requirements, right? So they distribute product, but then they go and service them now. That's what I mean by adjacent mm-hmm. services, right? Like a distributor who does field services. Yeah. Welcome to 2023, right? These poor guys. And so, you know, this legacy distribution app's like, well, actually, if you wait till the beginning of next year, we are going to release some field services mm-hmm. Capabilities within our app. Oh, really? Okay, good. Let's take a look at it then. So I do think that we're going to see more software vendors offering more capabilities for the distribution sort of centric businesses to support their needs. But that's what it's all about is that plus, you know, we've sort of optimized, in my opinion, sort of the supply chain with third party logistics providers and different kinds of parties, carriers, you know, sort of focus on best of breed execution of business process by these groups that do these very specific things. Mm-hmm. I think the other kind of thing that could come out of this is if the system can really, you know, like you hear about this with kind of the virtual world, right? And there's a lot of long-term work, I think, that's going to happen on that. Like, how do you basically build a metaverse, right, that represents what you actually have? But I think the distributors, interestingly enough, are probably more their needs more aligned to that concept of, like, I want to see product across the whole supply chain, the whole value chain. And if you had a metaverse that sort of could give you that representation now, you know, is it like you open up the door to your vendor and you walk over to their stock room and look in, you know, through the virtual world? That'd be kind of cool. I don't think it's going to be like that. But I do think that, I mean, even in the whenever that was, I'm not going to drop dates. Cisco had some work that they did around that same kind of concept in the late 90s. I'm just going to say it. We haven't delivered on that, right? Yeah. So I do think the distributors are going to drive more towards, look, I got to know this information. Even something as simple as transportation management with, you know, this inventory is on the water right now, right? And this particular, load, it's, you know, having more of that kind of visibility, I think, is going to be even more and more important going forward.
Definitely. And just kind of going back to your best of breed comment, do you think these distributors with adjacent services, adjacent requirements, do you think they're going to be continuing to rely on best of breed products, or do you think more is going to be coming natively from the vendors that are creating products?
Yeah, that's a trick question, because I think you know the answer to that. How would you answer that, European?
How would I answer that? I think the best bet for the vendors is for them to start offering that technology natively. Is it going to happen anytime soon? Right. They're trying.
Right.
Some of the vendors are closer to offering that than others.
Yep.
Not to say that that's good or bad for any of them, but I think that that's the direction we're going.
I think so too. And I think the news that we're covering shows that, that the vendors continue to buy niche solutions. We talked about this in the manufacturing solution, but it's very specific for distributors too, that they're buying these little functions within their whole functionality set that they can then offer themselves, so that it does simplify the experience for distributors. I think of all of the industries we work with, I do think that distributors really want the most simple, elegant solutions that they can get. When they get super big and they have really complex warehouse requirements, yeah, you got to go to a best of breed WMS for sure. Maybe some planning stuff, right? But, you know, core accounting, some of these other areas, if you can get a tier two ERP vendor that does, I'm thinking with NetSuite today, there was always a dependency on some third-party bolt-on solutions for a certain area in inventory management. Well, they built it out. NextWorld bought basically an inventory management best-of-breed solution, cloud-based solution, and that's helped them to grow out their solution as well. So I agree with you. That's why I – because I knew you would say the same thing.
Yeah, you wanted me to say the same thing.
Yeah, because you see these vendors that are, you know, buying all these different – there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and you're going to hate me for bringing it back to composable ERP.
What?
But I think
Composable ERP,
we're still seeing it.
Is this a Gartner interview?
It might be.
There you go.
But I think that that's kind of the direction we're going with some of the vendors. Yeah. So, all right. Well, what are the technology factors that will help distribution companies win in 2024? I think you already kind of mentioned this, but just summarizing it a little bit.
Is there anything else specific for distributors?
Yeah, and you can wrap this all up as like your major ERP reminders for these companies going into 2024.
Love it.
Just a big summary.
Okay. Here we go. Let me take a big deep breath. I think for distributors, simplicity for sure. Total cost of ownership is super vital still. I'm going to leverage a little bit again on the manufacturing side. Don't worry about AI yet. But be aware of it. Be aware of what your vendors are doing for AI so that you understand their long-term strategy so that when you bet on a vendor, an ERP vendor, you're also betting on their long-term AI approach.
Yes.
That's important. Not crucial, but I think it's important. I mean, the usual things of mobility and the app and user experience is super important, especially as sort of the next generations are coming into the distribution companies. You know, I think one thing I would say, we're seeing a turnover in ownership from different generations, right? And that next generation is more data-driven. And they do want these sort of built-in analytics kind of warehouse tools. Knowing, of course, the Microsoft Power Apps is a very cost approach or cost-effective approach for sure, but it does require some pretty complex people. But we were at a client recently, and this guy had built out a ton on the Power Apps platform, and I was like, "Wow, what's your background?" He's like, "Oh, I'm a bartender," and I was like, "Wait, what?" He said, "Oh yeah, I went back and did some coding classes several years ago, and now this is what I do." And I'm like, "Oh, that's super cool." I will say this. And this is where it gets interesting. I do believe that the AI, that the tech providers, they will start leveraging AI more than a typical distributor, meaning the enterprise software vendors, I believe, are going to start using more AI tools to start writing apps. We saw, did you see that from that one vendor? We'll have to talk about that one offline because that's super cool.
Yeah, I'm really curious now.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a few things, so I want to see if you're thinking about the same one.
Yeah, super cool stuff. So I think, maybe I would retract that statement a little bit earlier. Hopefully they haven't gotten off the call quite yet.
Oh, yeah.
So this is why I'm glad you stayed. I think the software vendors that will leverage AI for building their apps will reduce the cost of building software solutions. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they pass that on to the rest of us. I doubt they will, but let's just assume they do. But that'll help us to put to get apps in a better position that are more cost effective, but also just more just operationally focused. What am I trying to say here? I think of all of our customers, distributors are usually the most cost conscious of all of our different verticals that we work with. So that's what I'm trying to say is, I'm just going to pick on a vendor right now. Epicor. Epicor has phenomenal distribution specific solutions that are legacy, but they are enhancing those for the future.
Yes.
You know, Profit 21 and Eclipse. And if Epicor can take AI factors in how they're building out and maintaining these solutions so that the cost of operating software solutions goes down, and they can pass those cost benefits out to their customers, I think that's a really interesting business model. It's not just about adding more feature function that meets your customers' needs. It's actually about operating the software in a more efficient manner. And I don't think that's on any of the software vendors' roadmaps. I'm sure it is. I mean, they're all looking at how to operationalize data centers and that. We never even talked to the vendors about that. But I'm excited to think that our distribution customers could benefit from software solutions that are more cost effective because it's cheaper to write a software vendor app.
Yep.
So more to come on that.
Yeah. And not even to mention what that's going to do for implementation partners and
that's it.
The partnership ecosystem.
As they say, hey, goodbye. Because I actually did have somebody, a professional service provider who did really, really well. He said, you know, all that implementation stuff, you know, that's going to be gone in 10 years. Hmm. And I was like, and then he said, you know, your business too, that's going to be gone too. And then you got Elon Musk saying, he's, you know, AI is going to replace all the knowledge workers. I'm just telling you, there is something that you have to look at in that. Because one of the thing I mentioned to you earlier was one of the vendors gave us a sneak peek narrative that they are doing implementations with AI.
Yeah.
And that it makes a lot of sense to me because any process that's redundant can be programmatically codified and done over and over and again automatically.
Yeah.
And an implementation, how many thousands and thousands and thousands of implementations happen every week? So anyway, more to come on that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to wrap this one up for now. But if you have questions, obviously, please let us know. We're always up for answering those and communicating with you. We have some great people on staff. So thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to tune in to more of these industry calls, and we will see you soon.